At least you know who your friends are anyway. What can I say? Anyway, good morning again. You know, a couple of weeks ago when I shared last, I shared on being ready and being prepared for what the Lord has for us. When you read the scripture, it is of the virgins. It speaks of being ready for when the bridegroom comes. But what I was wanting to share on, what I did share on last time, sorry, Sunday school. Apologies. Thank you. What I wanted to encourage you with and to possibly warn you about is that the Lord has a work for us. He has a purpose for us. And I believe that right now, in terms of not just this body of believers or this particular church, but throughout the world, the Lord is preparing his people for what he wants. He's preparing them for the work that he has for them. Now, you know, we can look at this and say, are we prepared? Are we ready? And we can talk about being mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally ready for whatever the Lord brings. But, you know, sometimes when you look at the virgins and them being prepared, there was an effort involved in being prepared. They didn't just, to use the expression, park off and let it all happen. There was an effort required. And, you know, we end up in a situation where I wake up some mornings, do I feel ready? I use the word feel ready. I can assure you there are mornings that I wake up and I do not feel ready. I don't know about you. I'm sure I speak for myself and none of you have that problem, but you can wake up some mornings and think, Lord, I'm just not ready for whatever you may bring, for your return, right? Am I ready? But you know, it's not a matter of feelings. It's not a matter of emotion. It's a matter of faith. Faith in what the Lord has already done. And this morning before, this is the just before I warm up, is that I just wanted to read to you from Ephesians. Ephesians 2. You know, Ken last week, it was amazing when Ken was sharing from Ephesians, he was talking from, I think it was verse 18 and 17, 18, 19, around about. He was speaking from Ephesians. I was looking at that Ephesians 1 to 10, and then he added to it. So he gave me what I would call a lead-in. And so I just want to remind you of who we are. And in Ken shared from Ephesians, I think it's verse 13, where he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All of us, when you get born again, you have been brought near. The question is, once you're brought near, what happens? Do we just sit there and go, okay, Lord, you take over? And he does take over, but there's a certain amount that is required by us. There's an effort required by us. You know, and I'll move on there. But first of all, I just want to read to you from Ephesians 2. And here he says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works that anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What the Lord is saying is that it doesn't matter who you were. I can show you my historical CV, and I certainly am not qualified to stand here in front of you in terms of the world and what it thinks and what it judges and what it decides is criteria and qualification to stand here and preach, but I know the grace of the Lord. I know what he's done for my life. And I know that he can do that for every one of us. And when we come to the Lord, we don't do anything. He's done it for us. He brings us into his kingdom. He brings us near through the blood of Christ. When you're near, who are we to argue with God that we're not worthy? I mean, I'm not going to go into my history. And I'm certainly not wanting to go into your history, because I'm sure there's some of you worse than I was, but not many. But you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who you are. The Lord doesn't care who you were. The Lord's concern is today, where you are right now. Are you in the place of saying, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready to serve you? Are you prepared to serve him? You know, I'm not here to condemn or whatever it is. I'm here to encourage you because, you know, the Lord has done it for us. But there's a part that we need to play. You know, there are many things, you know, when we get involved. And I just want to start with Ephesians. But I want to speak from Ephesians 3, Philippians 3, verse 16. But I'll get back to that. First of all, what I want to know, where are you right now? Do you get up in the morning and say, Lord, where am I? And I'm not talking about in a place of being condemned and saying, Lord, show me what I need. What do I need to be doing right now? You know, there is an effort. People, we all get saved. The Lord does it all for us. He calls us, he chooses us, he puts us there and says, you belong to me now. What has gone before is forgotten. He doesn't even remember what you were or who you were or what you did. He does not remember that. What he wants from you is today, where are you today? Are you in that place of saying, Lord, show me what's not right with me? Do we really want to do it? Because the Lord's quite faithful. He will show you. And sometimes we don't really want to see where we are. But I think it's important that we realize there are many things that stop us or hinder us from accepting what the Lord has for us, his grace. A lot of us don't think we're good enough. Anybody here? No, don't. Okay. Who here doesn't think they're good enough? I'll put my hand up first. I'm not good enough. I know I'm not good enough. That's why in Ephesians it says it's by grace we are saved, not by works. It's by grace. God has decided that you're good enough to be part of his family and in his kingdom. Who are you to argue with that? So if you want to argue with the Lord, be my guest. You're not going to get you anywhere. I've tried this. I've been there. It's taken me some time, and I can assure you, all you're doing is wasting a few years here and there. Some of us more than others. I know a lady who followed her own life for 30 years. And 3 years ago, he brought her back. Boom. And she stood there and said, I have just wasted so many years. I have been struggling. I have a peace now that I could have had 30 years ago. Myself, away, 10, 12 years. And you come back and think, Lord, I needed this peace. Why was I fighting? And basically, you go to war against the Lord. And you know, you're not going to win. Trust me on this one. History will show you that. But grace shows you that you don't need to go to war with the Lord. The grace is there for us each and every day. And you know, the interesting thing is that there's a song by Charlotte Elliott. It says, Just As I Am. It's a beautiful hymn. It's very old, 1835. Goes back before your time, Mike, even then. So we have a song, a hymn, and it says, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. He has saved us. And I want to encourage you to understand that it's his grace that keeps us here. His grace that will let us go forward. And his grace that is hidden, forgotten, thrown away, whatever was before. So if you were bad guys before, and some of us probably still are in some places, the Lord is not interested. He wants to know where you are now. You know, we've got a choice. And one of the things that's interesting, that there's a lot of us who are stopped, and I go back in my own history, where we've stopped from serving the Lord for what he wants, stopped him being in that place where he can talk to us, stopped us being in that place where we even want to listen to him to begin with. And the grace comes into your life and you realize what a, yeah, I won't say what an idiot possibly, but you're crazy because you're trying to live your own life. And one of the things that we need to understand is that he loves us. And we have a choice. We have a free will. Lord brings us to a place and puts us in his family, in his church, in his body, and calls us his children, his people. And we have that choice now. Once he does that, we have that choice to just sit there and go, gee, thanks, Lord, and carry on with your life, which a lot of Christians do. And in fact, there are even pastors who will preach that. God, you're saved, no problem at all. You can carry on doing what you want, you're saved. Hallelujah. Well, I would actually question that myself. You know, the Lord doesn't bring you to a place and just say, well, you sit there and just relax. I'll get on with the rest. He brings us for a purpose. We have a purpose that the Lord has called us to. And, you know, we can go, there's lots of purposes. What is your purpose as a Christian? Well, there's a few answers to that, but I think you look at Scripture, it'll tell you very clearly. The first thing is that we're called to be ambassadors. We are called to bring the light and life of Christ to the world, in a world that is dying. Anybody here think the world is not dying? Okay. The world is dying. And we are called to bring light and life to those people. We are called to bring a hope to those people around us. Are we doing that? Do people see us, or do they see us the same as the rest of the world? And I, to my shame, I've got to be honest that there have been times in my life when you have not been able to differentiate me from the rest of the world. Yeah, we are called to be holy. Do you always all understand? Holiness, being holy, means to be separated from the world. Can people see that you are separated from the world? And I think we need to look at ourselves and say, Lord, show me. Be honest with him. Be honest with yourself. You know, he knows us, eh? And the interesting thing is he still loves us. He really does love us. So that we have a choice. And in Romans 12, verse 1, and you know, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we get transformed by the renewing of our mind? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing cometh by the word. Do we spend time studying? It doesn't matter if you study 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day. Are you studying? Are you looking for what the Lord wants of you? What he wants to do for you? Because quite often we end up with a situation. For many years, I had certain issues. She's listening, so I won't go into too many of them. But there are certain issues in your life. You say, Lord, pray, and nothing happens. And, you know, you end up saying, Lord, I give up. This is just my thorn in the flesh. Yeah, okay, I'm going to be like Paul. This is my thorn in the flesh. I'll live with this. But it's part of your sinful nature. And quite often the Lord requires us to be doing something about it. Now, how many times do you guys pray? How many times do you pray and think, Lord, Lord, where are you? I mean, I've been praying now for 10 years. And sometimes you hear this voice saying, well, you know, I've actually put something in front of you for you to do. I can't do anything until you do what I've asked you to do. I want you to be obedient to this little thing that I've asked you to do. And we go, why? Because quite often we think that, you know, the Lord needs to answer our prayer. And we forget that there are things that we need to be doing for the Lord. And so one can ask the question, why should the Lord do anything for you when you're not doing anything for him? Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't answer prayer. Please, don't misunderstand me. He does answer prayer. But there are times there are things that we need to be doing. We need to be stepping out. We need to be putting in place. Habits we need to be dealing with in him before he can actually move in your life. My wife and I, we found that in our lives, that we pray for something and the Lord's saying, yeah, but I want you guys, hold on. Before I do that, I want you guys to do this. And we sort of ignore him and then shout at him for not answering our prayers. Well, no, we don't shout. We are inclined to whinge. But, you know, we have a choice, guys. And we are... you know, the one thing is that in being prepared and being ready, we cannot do it ourselves. But our place in this is the effort of disciplining, is the effort of letting the Lord work in our lives. Do we let the Lord work in our lives? And I'm talking about, you know, it's something in a lot of churches, they will not preach the cross. They will not preach repentance. They will not preach forgiveness. They will not preach grace. But we need to understand what the Lord is saying. And the only way you can understand what the Lord is saying to be transformed by the renewing of your mind is to look at the scripture. You need to know the scriptures. I'm not talking about being a theologian to be able to sit down and discourse on different passages of scripture and what they mean and the whole. We just need to know what the Lord says and to keep it simple. You know, I'm not an intellect in that regard. I'm not a theologian. But I know what the Lord says. I know the grace that the Lord has given to me. And I need to rest in that and say, Lord, show me what you want here. You know, when we're asked to be holy, to be set apart. But we can only be holy if we realize that we need to be separated from the world. How much of the world is in you and around you is part of your everyday life? I'm not saying, please, because when we get born again, there's a period of time when we are still carnal and ugly and we just got bad habits and bad manners and everything else in the church. But we need to have grace for people like that and grace for ourselves, because it is, be transformed. Transforming is not you're going to be this new man, instant or woman. In Christ, you've got to let the Lord work. You know, do we allow the world to dictate our circumstances? Do we allow the circumstances to dictate the way we live and the way we think? Because we've got a choice here, and you know, we allow the media, we allow friends, we allow other Christians to determine where we live and how we live and the way we live. But you know, God calls us to be godly. When I say godly, it's when your belief, what you believe, is reflected in your character. What do people see when they look at you? Do they see a man and woman of God? Do they see somebody who's on a journey? Or do they see someone that's part of the world? They can't tell the difference. Do we live on principles? The principles that the Lord has shown us. And I'm not talking about the law, I'm talking about the grace. Because he says, I will write my laws on your heart. It's in here, the conscience. How many of us know when we're actually not in the right place? There's that little finger touches us and goes, excuse me, what about this? And how often do we actually push that aside? And we give up a lot of peace and we give up a lot of rest when we do that. Do we submit to impulses? Do we submit to emotions? Do we submit to the physical lusts? Do we submit to the financial pressures around us? Or do we step back and look at God's word and say, Lord, what are you saying here? Because when we start to obey the Lord, his grace is there. When we are trying to do it in ourselves, that grace is not there. Because the Lord, I believe, in my life, when you want to do it yourself, he stands back and says, well, there's nothing I can do. While you've got your life in your hands, I can't touch you. And it's a matter of us submitting. You know, the Lord wants a godly life. And the problem that I found in my own life is that you start off with Christ on the throne. Christ is the center of your life. You live for him, you breathe for him, whatever, for Christ. But then as time goes on, and I've probably had a bit more time than most of you here, you take the Lord off the throne and you put yourself back on the throne. And you start to run your own life. Sometimes you think, well, Lord, you're not doing a good enough job here. I need to take over now. Or you don't like what the Lord is doing. You know, there's a lot of churches today will preach. They won't preach the cross. What is the cross about? The cross is the center of it all. The cross is about denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Jesus. And a lot of churches will not preach the cross because what it means, it's uncomfortable. It is not pleasant. Does the cross hurt? Yes. If we're honest about it as Christians, it's not something that, hallelujah, this is all, everything's rosy and, no, let's go for it. It's a fact that the cross is a denial of self and it hurts. And we can't get away from the fact that a lot of places won't preach it because it makes you uncomfortable. Does the cross make you uncomfortable? Does the cross challenge you? If we're reading our scriptures and we're letting the Holy Spirit speak to us, yes, it should make you uncomfortable. It should make you look at yourself and say, Lord, what do I need to be doing here? Are we here to serve the Lord? Or are we just here for the jolly? And I've been there. My wife's not going to say anything at this stage, please, because I'd rather you didn't. But we've experienced this, where we've actually tried to run our own lives. And we can't actually run our own lives. We've got to come to that place of understanding where we are. We need to come to that place of asking forgiveness. We are come to that place of repenting and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Show me. And the Lord is truly gracious. The Lord is literally a word away from you in those situations. But it does take effort. And the question that you've got to ask yourself, are you prepared to accept the Lord's discipline? Do we like that? we're preaching things here. Look, do we like the Lord's discipline? Do we look for the Lord's discipline? I don't know about you, but I went to school and in my day, listen to me. Wow, that was a long time ago. They used a stick quite freely too, I might add. You know, there was a stick for most things. And so you learn that you need to be accountable. You need to be disciplined. You need to be responsible. Otherwise, somebody was going to put a really malacca, that was it. Malacca is a type of cane. And somebody would use a cane on you just to remind you to be disciplined, to be responsible, to be tidy, to be available for instruction. But the Lord doesn't do that. But he does speak to us. Thank you. You know, we are called to live what we believe. And so we start off, what do you believe? Do you believe that the Lord has called you? Do you believe that you're born again? Do you believe that you're here because the Lord has called you to be here? I believe so. When I look out here, you're all here by the Lord's choice, not yours necessarily. But you've chosen to follow him, chose to serve him. So the question is, what are you doing about it? I'm going to be careful about what I say. I'm not here to condemn you. But I think we need to be looking and say, Lord, what do you want for us? I believe the Lord has so much more for us. He has more for me. He has more for my wife. He has more for us here as a congregation, as a body of Christ. He has so much more for us. The question is, do we want that more? Because that more comes at a price. That more comes with wanting to serve him in a way that maybe we've never served him before. He has so much more for us. You know, I'd like to read to you very briefly from, if I can find it, it's in here somewhere. If you go to Hebrews 12, beautiful piece of scripture. And before I go to Hebrews, in Philippians 3, we'll start with 12. This is Paul, and you know, as Christians, we are called to serve the Lord. So if we look at Philippians 3, I want to read from verse 12. And it says here, this is Paul now. Now, Paul's a serious guy. You know, we all understand Paul's role and what he was and who he was. And I look at him saying, well, I can never attain to what Paul was. That's not what the Lord has called me to do. And each and every one of us here is not the same as the other. I'm not Ken. I don't have Ken's. I've never seen a guy with that much memory verses. I've never seen anybody have that many memory verses. It just rolls. You know, I struggle to do three or four for the service, but they just roll off his tongue. I don't have the eloquence that Andrew exhibits, but that's me. I'm different. Am I standing here this morning? I'm standing here because of the Lord's grace. I don't believe that I'm qualified to stand here myself, but the Lord has said, yes, you will do this. Do I like doing this every Sunday? It's a privilege. It is a privilege. There are times when I get very nervous about being here, but you know what? The Lord has said, do it. Whether I like it or not is not the point. Am I privileged? Do I really feel the Lord's grace? Yes. because I really believe that I'm being obedient to what he wants. Not all of us, not all of you are called to be here, but the Lord puts a calling on each and every one of you to do something specific for him. Are we doing that? Because with it comes a peace, comes a rest, comes a grace to allow you to do it. You know, we in Philippians 3, it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. What Paul is saying here is that it doesn't matter where you are, whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or 4 years or 4 days, it doesn't matter. You are exactly where he wants you to be. But we need to be operating. We need to be working and performing what the Lord wants of us where we are, with what we've understood. But if we've understood a certain amount and then given it a miss for the last, for 10, 12 years, I did nothing. So after that 12 years, was I in the same place when I left? No, I was far behind. But there was still a knowledge that the Lord had given me. But the question is, are you prepared to work in that knowledge and to transform that knowledge and that grace into physical, into action? You know, it's all very well saying, I believe in Jesus. I mean, even the devils believe in Jesus and shudder. The question is, are you believing and following? Are you prepared to be his disciple? Are you prepared to be where he wants you to work? We've got to allow him to guide us. You know, and we cannot do it ourselves. And you know, if you go to, let me go to Hebrews 12 now. Hebrews says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance as the race is set before us, looking unto Jesus. I'll come back to that verse. You know, we tried to do this ourselves. For many years, I was on a Christian goal-setting, targets and goals, and pray 4 times a week and read 16 scriptures and read the Bible from front to the back. And, oh, man, I just struggled. And that was a secular way, a worldly way of looking at Scripture. There was no grace involved. There was no Holy Spirit involved. You know, in John 14, Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He will come alongside you. He will strengthen you. He will teach you. He will show you. How often do we rely on the Holy Spirit? We're walking down the street and you start saying, Holy Spirit, show me what's going on here. I mean, sometimes it's the last thing we do. Even now, there are times when the situation occurs and we start to think, oh, what's going on? And 10 minutes later, you realize, stop. Lord, help me. And it comes. The help is there. You know, we cannot do this in ourselves. You know, but we've got to learn to live our beliefs. We need to know what our beliefs are. Are we certain of what we believe in Jesus? You know, we've got to be very, very honest with ourselves. You know, the Lord is wanting to do a work in our lives. And when I say a work, it's not a work that you could do for yourself. You've got to let him do it. And the question is, when you come before the cross, are we prepared to surrender and submit our lives to the Lord? Say, Lord, I'm here. You show me what you want. Let him illuminate what's in you. And you know, the problem that we have is we genuinely still try to do it ourselves, even when we know that it's the Lord that does the work. Do you have habits? Do you have issues, situations, emotional issues, family issues, financial issues? Do we have all? No, we don't. Most of us, anyway. Sorry. But most of us have these issues. But you know, it's to be able to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you need to guide me. Do we need the external circumstances to guide us, to point us where the world wants us? We're in a place now where I believe we're coming to the stage where the world is going to be looking for the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that life is going to be shown in us as we guard the community. Does my light shine? Personally, does my light shine like it should? I don't think so. But do I want it to shine like Jesus wants me to? Yes, I do. I've just come to that place of being willing to submit and surrender myself. You know, there's a danger that we can become like Timothy. When Paul's writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he says, you know, be careful of people who are religious, who claim to be Christians, yet deny the power. There is power in the cross of Christ. And it's only in that power of the cross of Christ that we can change. We cannot change in ourselves. We've got to allow ourselves to be submitted to that cross. And when that cross comes into your life and you allow it, you know, the cross is the power. You know, Paul speaks about it and says, you know, the Jews look for miracles, the Greeks look for wisdom, but it's a cross that he preaches, because cross is the power of God. And if we don't go before the Lord and say, I need your power, we're actually going to struggle along. We're going to end up with lives that are unfulfilled. You're going to end up with a life that is not of the Lord. I mean, you know what excites me most of all is that the grace, and let me read it for you, because we, you know, I share like this because the Lord is really speaking to me. There's issues in my life that the Lord is saying, enough now. You want to serve me, but you want to serve me like you want. And I can't do that. I know that I can't do that. I've got to serve him like he wants. And that is quite a difficult thing, to submit and surrender yourself and say, I give up. But I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians. It's in here somewhere. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. It says here, Paul is talking about struggling with his problems. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul is clear, saying he labored. I mean, you look how this man worked. But he said it wasn't me. It was the grace of God, the Holy Spirit working through him that allowed him to do it. And you know, that God's grace is there for us. We just have to call out. You know, the Holy Spirit does come along and does teach us. But we need to have the scripture. We need to know the basic scriptural verses of what God has promised us, what he'll do for us. We need to be in that place where he can work us and use us. The burning question of all of us that we've got to answer, are we willing to let the Lord do that for us? Are we willing to allow him to give us the peace, the rest, and the grace? Because so long, for too long, I have wanted to do it my own way. I've tried to, I won't say fight the Lord. I haven't fought the Lord for quite a while. I try not to, because that's not good for you. But at the same time, we need to understand that no matter who we are, no matter what position you are, what place you are, what title you've got, it doesn't matter. It's where you are right now with the Lord. And he says that nobody is of any importance. He says, how many of you are wise? How many of you are intelligent? How many of you have got doctorates in theology? How many of you have been to 16 different Bible schools? How many have written 14 books? You know, the Lord does not care about any of that. I hate to tell it to these authors, but they are very encouraging. But sometimes the book is not the Bible. And whatever he may say in the book, it's his revelation. We need to understand that God wants us to have our revelation. And that revelation comes from the Word and the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you shouldn't read other people. Please don't misunderstand me. But we need to be careful that we don't live on somebody else's revelation. We need to live on Christ's revelation, which is in his word, and the Holy Spirit directs us. So for me, I want to encourage you. You know, Romans says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us on the same level playing field. None of us is better than the other. None of us. Doesn't matter who you are. And you know, the Lord loves each and every one of us specifically by name and for purpose. And he wants us to serve him. The question again is, are you willing to allow him to do that work in you to make you worthy and useful? Not even worthy, just useful. Because I'll probably end up my day still not feeling worthy. And you know, people think, I'm not worthy, Lord. I can't do this. I'm not worthy. Just none of us is worthy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And it's only by his grace that we are here and that we can stand in front of him. And the Lord is gracious. His love is there. His mercy is there. And when we submit to him, there comes a peace. There comes a rest that you cannot experience when you try and do it in your own strength. So we need to, you know, in Hebrews 7, we have a great high priest. Do we get it right? We mess it up all the time. I mess it up. But you know, Hebrews 7 says we have this great high priest. He understands us. We just come before him. We come before him asking forgiveness, repentance. And you know what? We move on. Paul says, set your mind. Don't look at what's gone before. Yesterday's gone. It's today that matters. You know, for the Lord, yesterday, when we've asked forgiveness and repentance, you know, yesterday, he does not even remember it. It's gone. It's out of his memory. That is such an incredible thing, because the only people who remember things like that are ourselves. And we shouldn't. The Lord's given us this freedom. He's given us the choice to serve him. So I just want to encourage you. The grace of the Lord is there for us when we decide. I can't do that for you. Can I get my wife into heaven? She'd probably get me there. But no, that's not the point. The point is that you've got to do it yourself. It's you and you alone. Stand before God. You know, I listened to somebody. Oh, I need to be very careful here. I listened to a leader of the biggest church in the world who said, there are many paths to God. And all those paths are acceptable. There are many paths to God. It's like different languages. You can, you know. And you know, I agree with him. There are many paths to God. The question that you need to ask yourself is, what are you going to say when you stand in front of him at judgment? It's the only question I need to ask. Yes, all the paths lead to God. It's what you say when you stand before him in judgment. We have only one plea and one plea alone. That is in Christ alone. Just as I am. So I want to thank you this morning. Mike is looking happy because we haven't overdone it. So I thank him for your attention. But please, my encouragement is, you know, the Lord is just wanting so much for us. We are so conscious of the Lord wanting more of us, wanting more for us, that we need to be in that place saying, Lord, what do you want? Are we willing to say, Lord, come and work in me? So yeah, so if I can ask the worship team to come up, but please, please look for what the Lord wants. Look for what the Lord wants. Let me just pray as the worship team come up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that you show us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've called us, each and every one of us here, by your Spirit to be here, Lord. Lord, we are here to serve you. Lord, I want to pray that there be an openness of heart to accept the cross, Lord. To accept what it is that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, to come into a place of submission, to come into a place of surrendering our will to you, to put you, Lord, on the throne of our lives, that you, Lord, would be the center of our lives. For, Lord, it is you and you alone. You have shed your blood for us, Lord. You have brought us to this place, Lord. But, Lord, you have so much more for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, Lord, for you overlook all things, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, in your name, we thank you. Thank you for your presence this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.